Several weeks ago, following a wedding here at WPC, I was milling around out there in the fellowship area when a woman came up to me out of the crowd and stood in front of me and said, "Do you remember me?" You know, even if she'd been my best friend, that kind of a greeting is enough to just make my mind go blank. She looked familiar, but for the life of me, I couldn't come up with a name. So I said, "Oh, just a minute." And my little mental Rolodex file was swirling around and coming up with nothing. And finally, after what felt like about 5 years, I think it was about 5 seconds, she said, "I was Amy and David's first grade teacher." Of course, I thought I should have known, but you know, cut me a little slack. David just went to college this year. You know, it's been like 12 years since I've seen her, and she's changed a bit. Granted, she was one of our favorite teachers, but to come up with her name on the spot like that, it was just beyond my capacity. Now, Greg and I try very hard to remember names of everyone who comes here to church because we know how important names are. But the older I get and the bigger the church becomes, the more difficult it is for me to remember names the way I know that I should. So I apologize to any of you whose names I don't know yet or I forget. Just keep reminding me, and I promise you I will eventually catch on because I know how important it is to be known by name. Names are so important. In one way or another, our names help to shape us. They give us a sense of personhood, of individuality. When I get a phone call from someone asking for Mrs. Bostrom, I know it's someone who doesn't know me at all, because if they did, they'd know how my last name was pronounced. Whether we like our name or not, we all need to be known by our name. We need to be called by name. We can't truly feel known by someone who doesn't know our name. Well, throughout the Bible, names are given special attention. From the early days of creation, as God makes all the creatures, one by one, he brings them to Adam to give them a name. Their creation is not complete until they've been given a name. The names of people in the Bible are often so important, and the Bible goes into detail about how people are named. Isaac, whose name means laughter, because that was his 90-year-old mother's response when the angel said she was going to have a baby. She laughed. So forever after, her son is named Laughter. Those two twins, Jacob and Esau, Esau, which means hairy, and he was, and Jacob, which meant the one who supplants, because he ended up taking over his brother's position in the family. Even the name Moses means the one who's drawn out of the water, which is reflective of how Moses was drawn out of the river and given new life by the daughter of the Pharaoh. Well, also important it is in the Bible for people to want to know God's name. When Moses is confronted by God in the burning bush, he asks to know God's name. "What is your name?" he says. "I can't go out and tell the people nameless has sent me. I need to know your name so that when I go out and tell the people who has called me, I can call my God by name." You can't have a relationship with God if you don't know the name. So over and over again in the Old Testament, the names of the people and the place have particular meanings that describe something about who those people and places are. Jesus also understood the significance of names. When confronted by the man possessed with a legion of demons, the first thing he said is, "What is your name?" When Jesus brings Lazarus out of the tomb, he calls him by name, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man receives his life. Jesus even changes Simon's name to Peter in order to emphasize Peter's role as the rock, the foundation of the Christian faith. And now as Jesus makes his final journey toward Jerusalem, he passes through this town of Jericho. Jericho wasn't just any little town along the way. It was the winter capital of the king. And it was so large, and being in such a place was one of the greatest taxation centers in all of Palestine. The position of the chief tax collector in an area like that included a great deal of power, influence, and a nice, fat, if not always ethically gained, salary. But being a tax collector didn't do much for a person's popularity quotient. The tax collectors were most likely Jews who worked for the Romans who were the enemies, the oppressors. And so the tax collectors were seen as taking advantage of their own people by using their taxes collected for their own gain and adding to it. The head tax collector was probably the most hated person in the whole city. And in Jericho, that position was taken by a man named Zacchaeus, described in the Bible as being very rich, very short, and very much disliked. What Zacchaeus also was, if you read between the lines of that description, is a desperate man. I mean, he had to have been desperate to go out into a hostile crowd, to drop his dignity and run like a child, to climb a tree in a most undignified manner, and only to get a glimpse of Jesus as he passes through town. If Zacchaeus had known what was good for him, he would have just stayed home where it was safe, or at least he would have tried to be inconspicuous in a crowd of people who would more likely stomp him than give him a view. But no, Zacchaeus pushes his way through the crowd. He clambers across the cobblestones and then shinnies up a sycamore tree to get a good view, not even thinking that he's getting a good view of Jesus. That whole town of people who hate him is getting a really good view of Zacchaeus in the tree. And I can imagine what might have started to go through their minds right about then. Not such a good idea for Zacchaeus. If he had known what was good for him, he would have stayed home. But somehow Zacchaeus does know what's good for him. He knows somewhere in that rotten, corrupted little heart of his that the money and the power aren't enough. He needs something more. And even though he doesn't know what that something more is, he knows the name of the person who can give it to him: Jesus. In a word, Zacchaeus gets exactly what he needs more than anything else in the world. In a word, Zacchaeus realizes that he wants to be a better man than he has shown himself to be so far. In a word, Zacchaeus gets a chance to start his life all over again. In a word, and the word is Zacchaeus. His name, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, Jesus says loud enough for everyone in the crowd to hear, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down from that tree. I must stay at your house today. It was the first time in forever that someone had called Zacchaeus by name in such a loving way. What a beautiful sound that hated name became. How incredible that Jesus, who could easily have just passed by, would stop, would look up, and would call this wretched man by his name, Zacchaeus. Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree, and he looked through all that, the outside labels, the hardened exterior. He looked deep down, right into that man's soul. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as a person longing to know and be known. That was more than Zacchaeus could ever have hoped for. All he even wanted was a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus does so much more. He calls Zacchaeus by name. And like the walls of Jericho, the fortress built around Zacchaeus' heart came a tumbling down. He was a changed man. He was no longer the despicable tax collector, the rich guy, shorty. He was Zacchaeus, someone worth knowing, someone worth calling by name. And in response, Zacchaeus pledges to give back his money, the stuff he stole from the taxpayers, and he promises to go on and to live an honest and generous life. And although I'm sure the people in the crowd didn't believe a word that he was saying, Jesus believes. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down from that tree. I must stay at your house today. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah writes, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God is not some unavailable, unapproachable deity. God is the one who gives us life. God is the one who calls each of us by name and claims us as his own. Through the eyes of Christ, God sees through the fortresses we have built around us, sees beyond the labels that others have given us. He sees in each of us a person longing to know and be known and loved, warts and all. In Christ, God calls each of us by name. Zacchaeus, Mary, Timothy, Jane, I'm calling you by name. Do you hear me? I'm coming to your home today, right now. Come on down from your tree and spend some time with me. To be known by name, to be loved, that's what Jesus offers to us. And also this, to be remembered. To be called by name now, but also in the life to come. On every year on All Saints Day, we call out the names of those who have died the previous year. We call out the names, and we stand, and we remember the people whose lives have made a difference to us. We call each one by name, because names are so important, because names are more than names, they are people. Jean, Charles, Lynn, Jay. I imagine that somewhere on the other side of this life, each of our loved ones is being called by name, by the one who gave us life in the first place, the one who gives us life in the last place. I imagine Jesus opening his arms wide and greeting each new resident by name. Jim, it's good to see you. Leela Claire, you look radiant. Mickey, Wesley, come on home. One by one, Jesus meets and greets and welcomes and calls each person by name. In life and in death, we belong to the one who calls us by name, the one whose name is Jesus. You pray with me? Lord, underneath the exteriors that we show to the world, underneath the labels that others put on us, underneath the walls that we build to protect ourselves, you see right into our soul And you know us and you love us and you call us each by name, by our name. And in that calling, we know that we are loved. Lord, as we respond to that call and welcome you into our homes, as we hear and remember the names of our loved ones today, may we be blessed and nurtured, and may we know of your love, which never fails, for you are the one who gives us life. You are the one who calls us by name. We pray all of our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, and let all God's people say, amen.